Pray with me. Lord Jesus, in one sense, we weren't there because you alone were. You alone hung on the cross for us. You alone died for us. You alone bore all of our sin. You alone saved us. But also in a sense, by faith, we were there and we are there. You have called us to be your children. It is there, by faith, that we find forgiveness and wholeness and hope. And so, Lord, lead us this holy week that, as it is holy to you, it may be to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. How often have we been there, as it were, with Jesus on Palm Sunday, joining with the crowd, proclaiming, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and here is King Jesus riding in to be crowned as king. I am your king who has come, and yet his crown is thorns, and his throne is a cross, and yet it's there he brings salvation and peace. Well, today, as we've been following through our series, Thy Will Be Done, we're going to talk about God's will when we are not willing. You see, there's one detail in one of the Gospels, Luke, as he tells this story that kind of sticks out. And that's why I put the readings, might be a little small for you to see, from Luke 13 and Luke 19. On this day, well, first Luke 13, Jesus himself says, Jerusalem, he's talking about the city he rides in today. Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how I would have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And then today's story from Luke, you know, he says, disciples brought the donkey to him, they threw their coats on it, and Jesus rides, and people come and shouting and saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Luke tells us this one thing in Luke 19:41. It says, and as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. Usually we think of Jesus wept in different verse around Lazarus' death. No, here it says, as he approaches Jerusalem on this day on Palm Sunday, he weeps. And he says, even you, if you had only known that this day I came to bring you peace, that, hey, I'm coming as your king and you're going to kill me. And he weeps. So maybe this is a strange detail that you haven't noticed, but it has everything to do with God's will when we are not willing. You see the crowds and disciples following and praising, and here Jesus comes and weeps. Why does Jesus weep on Palm Sunday? Well, he has good reason, because so often his people have rejected God's will. And one reason, historical reason, Jesus knows what's coming. So here we're in early 30s AD. In 70 AD, so not that far after, the Romans come and they lay waste to Jerusalem. It's destroyed. Vespasian, long siege. It's you can read about it in history books. It's bloody. It's awful. And the temple is destroyed. And the temple does include the largest known stones to have been moved and used in building. So it took time to destroy this thing. They were intent on this. That's how mad the Romans were. And people, so many people killed and flee and all sorts of horrible stuff. Jesus knows that's coming to his beloved city. He weeps. But as I showed you, it's not the first time he's wept for Jerusalem. Wept for Jerusalem. The other time was that sometime before Palm Sunday he comes. And he sees that Jerusalem, how I love you and I long to gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you weren't willing. You have long time rejected God's will. So it is, I think, strange and striking to see on the day when Jesus finally comes into Jerusalem with people singing praises and us singing praise, here Jesus weeps. Why? He weeps because God's people rejected God's will. Jesus was their Messiah. He was their promised one. He fulfilled the scriptures. He ushered in the gracious reign of God's kingdom. Jesus had already healed the lame and fed the hungry and driven out demons and calmed storms and even raised the dead. He brought peace, the shalom of God to his people, and he wants them to live out his will because he knows that it's best for them and for you. You see, Jesus is God's will, and they're rejecting him. Jesus is the long-promised Savior, promised all the way back in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve first choose their will over God's will. But ever since then, God's people have this long habit of rejecting God's will and choosing their own. Adam and Eve say, "No thanks, God, we can live better lives on our own, we'll do what we want." Their children, Cain and Abel, Cain murders his brother Abel rather than trust God's will. Abraham has a child with Hagar rather than trust God's will. David has an affair with Bathsheba and then has her husband killed rather than trust and obey God's will. Jonah gets on a boat and goes in the exact opposite direction of where God wants him to go rather than trust God's will. And by the way, these are just the good guys in Scripture that I just told you. That's not even the people that willingly don't want anything to do with God. You see, the teachers and preachers in Jerusalem have long rejected God's prophets. So when you have evil kings like King Ahab, they want to kill Elijah. They run for their lives. Kings reject prophets. People don't want to listen. God's people reject God's will, and they reject their Messiah, Jesus. Jesus is killed this week because his people reject him. They reject God's will, and as we just shouted, "Crucify him," in the Passion reading, we reject him. Yet at the same time, God uses the cross to save his unwilling people. God's will to save you is greater than your will to reject God. That's the gospel. Yet, in all of this, can you see and hear Jesus' heart for lost people? Jesus comes into this city where people he knows are going to kill him and have rejected him and prophets and his word for so long, and Jesus doesn't come in and burn with anger and, you know, rain fire from heaven and strike them dead. He could, he doesn't. He doesn't execute judgment on hard-hearted people. He could. He doesn't. What does Jesus do? He weeps. He's sad. And eventually, he himself takes the judgment and wrath for them and for you. But in the middle of this, to help us unpack this all, Jesus uses a metaphor. Jesus takes us on a bit of a journey in a short little metaphor to show us his relationship to his people or what he wanted, and he takes us to the world of chickens. Did you catch it? Right? Chickens. "How long, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kill the prophets, stone those sent, how I would have longed to gather your children together as a hen, you know, gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Bit of a funny story. Last week, Tuesday night, elders met Tuesday night in the library, and somewhere in the middle of the meeting, I can't remember what part it was, somebody kind of looks outside over the street there and says, "Is that a chicken in their yard?" Everybody kind of, you know, looks up and tries to find it. Sure enough, house across the street, there was a chicken, a free-range chicken. Wasn't on a leash, wasn't in a cage. It was just kind of roaming around by the sidewalk there. And I know some of you have enjoyed Holland's allowance of chickens in the city limits in recent years. Well, have you ever seen a mother hen with her little chicks around? Have you seen a proud, protective mother hen with, you know, little yellow feathered fluff balls, right, kind of hopping around with? Wherever mother hen goes, the chicks follow. Mostly, right? Not entirely. Like children, chicks don't always follow mother hen, and they stray away. And then what happens? Mama hen walks over and gathers them, right, back to herself. And what happens if you get too close to mother hen around her chicks? And what happens if you, try to get between mama hen and her chicks? Right, you learn not to do that pretty fast, right? A hen cares for her chickens. She leads them, protects them, and if they're in danger, spreads out her wings to either draw them to, so they are literally under her wings, or to protect. And when chicks are under the wings of their mother hen, they are literally covered and protected and nurtured and safe. And how often does a chick stray and a mama hen patiently goes after and brings them back to under her wings? How often, and how does a mother hen have the will to repeat this over and over and over again, right? How many times a day does a chick kind of stray and they kind of have to keep doing this over and over and over again, right? How often is the will of the chick against the will of the hen, right? Do you see where Jesus is going with this? How often is our will against God's will, and yet Jesus says, how would I have longed to gather you like that? And Jesus continually comes after us. You see, how often do we reject God's will for our lives? Now, it's way easier to see that in somebody else's life than our own, right? It's way easier to see someone else's unwillingness to follow God's will than our own. After all, you know, we say, hey, we're like the disciples. We would never willingly reject and oppose God's plan for our lives. Now, would we? Remember Peter? He didn't think so about the cross, and he flat out rejected God's plan to send Jesus there. He's saying, no, that's never going to happen. And Jesus had to say to Peter, get behind me, and even call him Satan, before Peter saw his unwillingness to live into God's will. Paul himself, we talked a bit about last week, right? Paul directly opposed God's plan, needed a blinding light and scales on his eyes to come to see what God's will was. What about you and me? We all have some place in our life that we are unwilling to be conformed to the will of Jesus. I'm not sure what it is for you. It may be an unwillingness to confess a secret sin, one that you want to be free of and tries you hard to leave it. You can't seem to, or you're not sure how life would be like if you did leave it. And how often has Jesus extended his grace to you and you just wanted to keep going back to that over and over? Jesus laments and weeps for you, just like he did for Jerusalem. And maybe for others of you, it's just trying to control one thing after another and not trust the God who is in control. How often has Jesus poured his grace upon you over and over again and you say, I'm still unwilling to trust you, God? Jesus wants nothing more than to gather you under his wings so that you let go of the struggle and rest in his peace. You see, we all have some place in our life where we are unwilling to be conformed to the will of Jesus. And as we see here, just like he weeps for them, Jesus weeps for you. Jesus not only weeps for you, he dies for you. You see, no wonder then tears flow from our Savior's eyes as he looks upon Jerusalem and all the people that sing praises and yet still are unwilling to trust his will. Now, think back for a moment back to the image I gave you, that Jesus gave you about a hen and chicks. How wandering and unwilling are they at times, and yet how relentless is a hen to care for them, to go after them, to pursue them, and never stop pursuing the chicks that they love. You see, when a mother hen sees chicks in confused or wandering in peril, there's nothing that will prevent mother hen from going and finding and spreading their wings and covering and protecting and bringing them home. And a mother hen would gladly receive in her body a death blow to save those most precious to her. Jesus is telling us, hey, that's me. That's what I'm doing for you. Jesus is completely unwilling to give up on you. Jesus is so unwilling to give up on you that this week is real. Palm Sunday is real. Good Friday is real. And next Sunday, Easter and resurrection is real. Can you see Jesus on the cross? He is the one who raises his wings, his arms, his wings higher than it seems possible. And Jesus' wings are outstretched with nails to hold him there. Because Jesus is so unwilling to see you and I perish in sin that he submits to the Father's will and dies in our place. Jesus would rather take the death blow of sin and death that we deserve rather than see you stray forever. So Jesus is unwilling to give up on you. So this week, yes, the people, they get their will. They kill Jesus. They kill the prophet sent to them, the very Son of God. And if you and I were there, we'd probably kill him too. Or if not that, we would certainly run and hide in fear like the disciples. But Jesus is still unwilling to give up on you. And this week, as the people get their will to kill Jesus, God gets his will to save you. I love the, it's verse 4 of, "O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken?" A Lent hymn. And it haunts me and it comforts me. It says, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that loved to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him who would not know him." When you see your heart wander, when you see your own desire to even go against God's will, walking towards bitterness or control or hiding the darkness of sin, Jesus is still unwilling to give up on you. That's what this week is about. Amen.